Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're joined by one of the classy players in the league for sure. Three-time world champion. He's got a finals MVP on his resume. He's an all-team, all-defensive team a couple times. Andre Iguodala is with us here on the show. He's a member of the Heat now. Andre, what's happening, buddy? How you doing today?
I'm good. I appreciate the introduction with the adjectives to describe me, so.
Well, it's true, man. I mean, listen.
Kind words.
Andre, we're not making it up. You earned it all, man. You know?
No, you did. I heard the word classy. I'll add that to the resume, though.
Gotcha.
Well, I mean, when you got a catalyst fund that you started, and that, I think it's awesome investing in blacks and Latinos. Latinx is the word they use now, and female founders. I think it's amazing. You are classy. And some of the things that you've been doing on the business side, you're an author as well, The Sixth Man, which is the first question I want to ask you, Andre, because people have forgotten. You spent most of your early part of your career in Philly, and you were a starter. And then you come to Golden State. You start that first season at Golden State, and then it's like, all right, you're on the bench. And it made you, in a sense, who you are in a lot of ways. Tell us about that transition, and because it's not easy to do, I imagine, for anybody, but you did it with expert execution. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, it was interesting. You always say, things happen for a reason and things happen the way they're supposed to happen. I was just having a conversation with Justin Thomas, mm-hmm. Who's a good buddy of mine. Obviously, he's just the PGA Championships last week, and I'm a big golfer. So we were talking about in terms of, all you have to do is just put the work in. If you worked as hard as you could or not, and then just let everything else, come about how they're supposed to. Everything happens the way it's supposed to happen. And similar to that situation, I was actually playing really well going to that training camp. I had a few procedures that summer to get the body right, and the body was feeling really good. So I came in with some high expectations for myself as well as the team. So to hear that is a little different. As you know, growing up and playing youth sports, It was like the starters were scrubs and everything that goes into, how you perform or how you're perceived on the team and how you're perceived from other teams as well. You're the starter, you're the number one guy. So that still kind of plays a role in sports, I think. I think it's changing a little bit, though, just embracing, especially the guys that have success in their roles and learning how to embrace that. And, hopefully I've been a part of that, the changing of, that perception. But the things that it worked out because Steve and I, we had the same college coach. And I feel like college can make or break your career. Michael Jordan always talks about Dean Smith and the things that he did for his career. Lute Olson had a huge impact on a lot of his athletes because of how he taught the game. And our transition was a lot smoother, I feel like, than a lot of other players going from college to the NBA. And we have a pretty good track record of guys in the Lute Olson that go pro. So Steve and I spoke the same language in terms of basketball. So when he approached me about it, he actually said, you've been playing like this and you're playing really well. And, it's unfortunate, but we're a better team if you come off the bench. And it's hard to argue with someone you see basketball the same way as they do and you speak the same language, same verbiage, same principles, all those things. So it was a tough transition to get used to, but when things start clicking and you want things to start clicking around the playoffs and deep runs, and then I just, you're just embracing it once you get that newfound rhythm. And it's actually helped extend my career.
That's great. And listen, you're right. Lute Olson is one of the greats. It takes, and this is erroneous on the part of many, you say, hey, list some of the great coaches the past 30 years. And, of course, you get Boeheim and you get Jim Calhoun, three-time champ. And eventually you'll get to Lute Olson. But I feel like, Andre, to your point, that Lute Olson is a little overlooked, not by me, not by us, but maybe the fringe college basketball fan. Arizona's been a powerhouse for 30 years, man. I mean, it's amazing. So I'm happy that you brought him up. But I want to get your thoughts on this. We talk about the bubble, right? And we wonder, you know, what is it like? Just take us through a day in the bubble. Andre Iguodala wakes up. What is it like in the bubble, man? What's going on?
I think with the bubble, you have to really schedule out your days. And if you do that, you'll make the most of your days and you'll find yourself productive because you have a lot of downtime. So you can find yourself staring at the wall a little bit. And, you know, you go through this monotonous routine of going from the room, a couple hours into the gym, a couple hours, come back to the room, a couple hours, then go eat, a couple hours, and then come back. And you're just trying to figure out different things to do. And you don't want to do the same things over and over. So you got to be engaged. You got to keep your mind engaged. Mm-hmm. But your time is almost like a maze of time because every day is different. Like one day practice could be at 2. One day practice could be at 10. One day practice could be at 5. And then you have testing times every day, you know, your COVID test. Even though it's pretty quick, like that test is like 4 minutes tops. It could be right in the middle of you wanting to do something or do an activity. So I've learned how to map out my days and be as productive as possible. So the first thing I do in the morning is you do your test. You know, you have to take your own temperature, then you do your oxygen levels test. And guys, I feel like it's routine now. So, you know, we haven't missed too many, but you can't get access to food or you can't get through the front door to your practice or you can't get through a certain area if you don't do all that. So guys have to go back to your room, so you got to make that a habit. And then once you're there, you're grabbing breakfast and probably going to practice for, you know, depending on the team, from anywhere from an hour to 2.5 hours. And then from there, you come back. Try to figure out when your testing time is, because then that tells you, okay, what can I do for the next 2 hours?
Yeah.
I've been golfing. So this morning I played golf. Like we've been getting out there early, so.
Who are you playing with? Teammates, coaches? Who are you playing with, Andre?
So we got a couple coaches that play. One of our coaches is like, he played on a mini tour. He's like a shooting guru. He's really good. Like he's like a Steph Curry type, handsy type guy. You know, he can do a lot of different things well, like throwing a football or shooting a basketball or throwing darts and like weird stuff like that. He's he's like a plus 2 handicap, which is crazy.
Nice.
He saw 59 this morning, actually.
What? Come on.
Wait, 59?
Yeah,
59?
Yeah, I've seen him do it.
Wait.
Wow.
59. Yeah.
Oh, so I think you said 15. Like, 6'9". Yeah. 6'9". 6'9".
Gotcha.
Still pretty sick.
He says this on the regular. we get our golf. Like this morning, I got our crew now is Kelly Olenek, Duncan Robinson, when he's not afraid to leave his room because he's afraid to, like, go outside. He's like a hypochondriac or something. Whatever that phobia of going outside is. And then Solomon Hill, I got him into golf. Like, he's hooked now. He just started playing like a week ago, and now he wants to play every day.
Yeah.
So that's our crew. So that gives us like 4 hours to be outside, to breathe, laugh, joke. Yeah. And then I always joke with Kelly Olenek, like, yo, we got a crazy connection on the court. Like, I'm always finding him wherever he's at. And he's like, how'd you find me? I'm like, I don't know, bro. I think it's from us playing golf. So we use that as our joke. And then from there, I got a couple books. I finished 1.5 books since I've been here. I'm on this, like, I'm on a book that's like for college students. It's like a research book. It's really good. Manny Marble, who did Malcolm X. I'm reading his book right now, and I have to be locked in to read that. And then I got my tech stuff. So my days are pretty filled. Like,
Yeah, because you're a businessman, man. You're like operating a business while you're going on, while you're there. You mentioned something real, you know, briefly. You said it in passing, but are there a lot of guys that are nervous, like hypochondriac nervous because of the coronavirus? Even though there's no positive test. We've heard this for the last couple of weeks. No positive tests in the NBA bubble. Is that widespread, the nervousness?
That's a really good question. I think the NBA's done a really good job, and the union – Michelle Roberts and Adam, they've done a really good job of calming everyone's nerves and just making sure we follow the protocols, make sure we have our mask, keeping our hands clean. I mean, you'll see masks stationed everywhere, like every checkpoint, if you forget your mask. Like, I have like 40 masks in my room. If I forget one, I can just walk like 10 steps and there's one right there. And then you got the machines for sanitation or the sanitizers. Then you have the little bottles of hand sanitizers everywhere. Everyone is just doing their part. And like when I walk out of my room and I forget my mask, the first person I see has a mask on. So it's like, oh, and then I'll take, you know, step back, make sure I have my mask. So everyone's doing a really good job of that. So I think that's calming a lot of the people or any of the fears down, because everyone's just being responsible with how they're supposed to move around.
So we're talking to Andre Iguodala, three-time world champ, won the finals MVP as well back in 2015. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. You know, we have had so many segments here, Andre, trying to determine, and we both love him, but he's been in the news a lot, like Jimmy Butler. You know, like what? And to me, and I want you to obviously take the reins here, but to me, like, Jimmy Butler would be a great teammate if you're all about basketball and you have a heart and you're doing the right thing. If you're soft or you're looking for shortcuts, then Jimmy Butler's the worst kind of teammate because he's going to light you up. You've been around the game a long time. You've got that old school mentality like Jimmy. What did you learn about him that you didn't know? And really, what kind of teammate is he with the young kids?
Jimmy and I have connected like right away. I think it's just he has an appreciation for guys who are have a high basketball IQ and, you know, apply it on the court. Like, you got some people that have high IQs but, you know, can't execute it. You know, those are like the really good coaches. Maybe they're not as athletic or they don't have good reaction times, but they know the game. I think he just has a really high respect for guys who – understand, like, I know how to put myself in a position and I won't get credit for it or no one will see it. Like, I know, okay, be right here and I'm going to help my teammate get wide open. Or I know to be right here, although my man may be open, but I'm taking the ball out the hands of, you know, the number one guy on the team.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like subtle things like that. And he Jimmy's hilarious because anytime he subs in for me, he's like, appreciate you, bro. And I always laugh because, you know, he just really appreciates the guys who understand their roles, embraces their roles, and just steps up to the challenges. And for the young guys, he wants them to understand that, you know, there's basketball and it can make you look good, but there's also winning plays. And those some winning plays may not look as special or may not make you look good, but, you know, it's helping the team win. And I think that's kind of like that balance that we're trying to figure out with new age basketball. You know, I'm a purist at heart, you know, with the game of basketball. It's almost like golf. And they say, are you hitting the ball too far? You know, are guys still shaving shots? Or can guys hit, you know, 4 and 5 irons into long par fours, but the ball's going so far, so now it's a pitching wedge. So, you know, for me on the basketball court, I'm like, are we getting away from, you know, the pure art of the game? You know, it's like it's the business side and then there's the, you know, the actual sport. And that applies to any sport. And do you change the rules to tilt the scales too much one way or the other, you know, for financial gain? And you have to be wary of that. So that's where I'm at. And I think he really appreciates that. So he and I see, you know, we see eye to eye on a lot of things on basketball.
That's a good explanation because I think he gets misunderstood a lot of times. You know, the other thing, Andre, that's going on in the bubble is the social justice reckoning that's happening in the country. Black Lives Matter. And guys had the option to put their name, keep their name on the jersey or put a saying on. I know you've talked extensively about this in your book, The Sixth Man, a memoir. It's obviously about basketball, but it's also these other things that are important to you. But I look at the back of your jersey and it says group economics. Explain what your message is, given this movement that's going on.
Yeah, well, it was just a great piece wrote by, I think his name is Michael Pena from GQ, and I was able to read it today. And he spoke to three guys in the league that are wearing that message, and Anthony Tolliver, Jabari Parker, and myself. And it came from David West, who's been very influential to his teammates. And those are, you know, at the end of the day, and Tiki, you can attest to this, you know, those relationships that you build with your teammates, you know, those are the things you take most away from your time as a professional athlete.
Yep.
And David West just played a huge role in the education of an African-American and, you know, things that can really help us change the narrative and change our place and how we're seen in this country. And he kept speaking on group economics in one meeting, and no one had a clue what he was saying. It almost turned into a joke because we had no idea what he was saying.
Yeah.
But when I started breaking it down, started reading, doing my homework, and then we became teammates and just start, you know, asking them questions. You know, I had a great understanding of essentially, you know, African Americans have the least recycled dollar out of all cultures and communities in the world. And you look at some of these other communities, and it's sad because when we speak about other communities, it's been frowned upon recently, you know, as it's like, you know, we're anti that community, but we're actually showing respect. You know, a few superstars have spoken about how they handle their business and how they want to handle their business the same way they do. And, you know, look at it like backlash, but, you know, we're just saying, like, that's the model. They figured it out. And what it is when we support ourselves and we support our own businesses because we're the least funded, you know, that's a part of the Catalyst Fund with under the Comcast Ventures umbrella, investing in, you know, African-Americans, Latinx, and female entrepreneurs is when we invest in ourselves and build up our businesses, that in turn the taxes that come from that, you know, we buy homes in our communities, we own land in our communities, it raises the value. And when you raise the value, you know, the land is worth more, and then the same tax dollars go into, you know, education systems and, you know, other resources that the community can benefit from. All those things go into play. So for me, it was, you know, raising that awareness and make people say, what is that? You know, and just helping them see outside the box and see that's the bigger issue. Or that's the bigger theme. And we talk about America, you talk about capitalism. The system, you know, which the book I'm reading right now is How Capitalism Underdeveloped Black America. He's speaking on, you know, capitalism and racism go hand in hand because, you know, we built this country based on tobacco, cotton, and sugar, and how we've been exploited from our human labor and haven't been properly paid for throughout history from that, and that's kind of how our community has always been lagging behind. And every other issue, or I shouldn't say issue, every other message that's on jerseys, I feel like group economics will directly is the base of all those things to be, whether you use the word conquered or solving all those issues, group economics can be the equation to get to taking care of all these things.
That's a great one. Hey, listen, we're late. Oh, that's the only reason we have to wrap. Don't really want to because you're a really interesting guy. We already knew that because you've been around for a long time. Everybody knows Andre Iguodala is a class act. I'll reiterate what I said at the start of the interview, but the name of the book is The Sixth Man, a memoir. A lot of championships, finals MVP, still hanging on, still has those guns, too. He's not small in the arm department. He's got those guns. Andre, good having you on, man. Really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, that was great.
Appreciate it. Big shout-out to my wife, who's, like, all the wives who are at home with the kids, and they're, like, in the bubble as well. So
great point. That is an awesome point.
You better say that for mama. There you go.
Great point.
For sure.
Thank you, Andre.
I love this guy. This guy's great. Thank you, Andre.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.